Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we've got some town songs, some prohibition songs, and some word songs. But we're going to get started with some happy songs, because last week, on October 16th in 1939, listeners to the NBC Blue Network heard the 15-minute radio drama Right to Happiness for the first time. One of the longest-running shows of its kind, Right to Happiness moved to CBS in 1941 and back to NBC the following year. In 1956, the show returned to CBS, where it stayed until it went off the air in 1960. Right to Happiness had a cast of more than 25, was sponsored by Ivory Soap, and the theme song was Song of the Soul. The announcer's opening lines were, "Happiness is the sum total of many things, of health, security, friends, and loved ones, but most important is a desire to be happy and the will to help others find their right to happiness as well." So I sincerely hope that the following songs bring you a bit of happiness. Here's Fred Waring.
Life's happy plan, doing unto others as I'd like to have them doing unto me. When I find a very lonely soul, to be kind becomes my only goal. I feel so much better when I tell them my philosophy. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth-giving. Why can't I give some to you? When skies are gray and you say you are blue, I'll send the sun smiling through. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too.
Little happiness till things come.
Paul Starita and his novelty orchestra spreading a little happiness there. Spread a Little Happiness is from the 1929 show Mr. Cinders, with the book and lyrics by Clifford Gray and Greatrix Newman, and music by Vivian Ellis and Richard Myers. By the way, that's Mr. Vivian Ellis. That recording was made in London on March 9, 1929, and the vocal was by Binny Hale, who also starred in the original production. Mr. Cinders is an inversion of the Cinderella story. Instead of a young, poor maiden victimized by her ugly stepsisters, or sisty uglers, we have a good-hearted young man named Jim Lancaster, who is victimized by his boorish stepbrothers. One thing remains, however, and that's the wicked stepmother. And we started the show with Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians from January 10, 1930, and a Vincent Newman's composition, I Want to Be Happy, from No No Nanette. The vocal refrain was by Claire Hanlon, Will Morgan, and Polly McClintock. Continuing this happiness set on rapidly rotating records, here's Al Boley, who's going to shout for happiness.
Shout for happiness all day through. Oh, sing, sing, let your voices ring, bid your troubles adieu. Take the joy that is meant for you. Don't sit in a corner like Jackie Horner. Get where the bright lights are. Just look up high, search the sky, find your lucky star. Shout, shout, shout for happiness. There's no joy if you're blue. Shout for happiness all day through. I see right in front of me but Max Goldie in the flesh. Hey, gosh, but you're looking well and full of spirits, too. No, I didn't say whiskey. Come on, Max. Tell me, what makes you feel for happiness, huh? Been to see the cup final. Oh, I can see it right in your eye. You're just dying for a drink, huh? Well, come on, let's go.
Happiness pie. take a spoonful of pleasant weather. Any June day will qualify. Stir the mixture all up together and make yourself a happiness pie. Remember 4 and 20 blackbirds when they were baked into a pie. But just forget about the blackbirds with the bluebirds so close by. Have a feeling of hugs and kisses with the sweetness to satisfy. For you don't know what love and bliss is till you make yourself a happiness pie.
Some more happiness songs on Rapidly Rotating Records. We heard from Ray Noble and the New Mayfair Dance Orchestra with Al Boley taking the vocal on Shout for Happiness from February 19, 1931. The trumpet solo was by Max Goldberg. Max Goldberg was born on March 19, 1905. He worked with many bands, including the Savoy Orpheans, Ambrose, Arthur Lally, Jack Harris, Sid Lipton, and Geraldo. He emigrated to Australia in 1957, where he worked in Channel 9's orchestra until he retired in the 1970s. Max Goldberg died in Melbourne on February 11, 1990. And we just heard Sid Phillips' Melodeons from 1930 and Make Yourself a Happiness Pie. The vocalist was Dan Donovan. Dan Donovan was born in England in 1901. He began his musical career in a church choir and music society. He took up the saxophone and traveled to London, leading bands at the Celtic Room, Cox's Cafe, and the Gloucester Palais. He went to hear De Broglie Summers play, asked for an audition, and was offered a job with the band. He made his first records with Summers on April 25, 1930, and made about 200 sides between April 1930 and 1934. In September of 1934, Dan joined Henry Hall in the BBC Dance Orchestra, where he made about 120 records, singing and continuing to play saxophone. In February 1938, Dan began a residency at the Lansdowne House Restaurant with his own eight-piece band. He remained there for several months, cutting four sides for HMV. His total number of recordings has been estimated to be around 500. Dan continued singing until age 70. He suffered a stroke in 1976 at age 75, but lived to age 85. Composer, arranger, conductor, and multi-instrumentalist Sid Phillips was born on June 14, 1907, in London. He formed his first band in 1925, performing and recording on the continent. In 1927, along with two of his brothers, Harry and Ralph, he formed the sextet we just heard, called the Melodeons. From 1933 to 1937, he was a member of Bert Ambrose Orchestra, and during the late 1930s, he freelanced and wrote arrangements for a number of British bands. In England, he became known as England's King of the Clarinet, and led bands well into the 1960s. Sid Phillips died on May 25, 1973. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. We'll be back with some words right after these words. Last week, October 16th, marked the birth in 1758 in Hartford, Connecticut, of lexicographer Noah Webster. Born into an average colonial farming family, Noah Webster went to Yale, where, after graduating, he taught school. The textbooks came from England, so in 1783 he decided to write his own textbook called A Grammatical Institute of the English Language, commonly referred to as the Blue-backed Speller. After marrying in 1789, Webster moved to Amherst, Massachusetts, where he helped to start Amherst College. Back in New Haven, at age 43, he started writing the first American dictionary in order to help standardize speech and usage, and because he felt Americans should not speak and spell just like the English. Thus, his dictionary spelled color C-O-L-O-R instead of C-O-L-O-U-R, and contained words such as skunk and squash, which weren't in English dictionaries. When he finished 27 years later at age 70, Webster's dictionary had 70,000 words in it. Noah Webster died in 1843, an American hero. So here to commemorate Noah Webster are some songs about words, starting off with a song that even mentions Webster's dictionary. Here's Dick Robertson.
Like glorious, glamorous, and that old standby amorous. It's all too wonderful. I'll never find the words that say enough, tell enough. I mean, they just aren't swell enough. You're much too much, and oh so very, very, to ever be in Webster's dictionary. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you that you're marvelous, too marvelous for words. Very, very, to ever be in Webster's dictionary.
Thank you. talking about the weather. One little word led to another. I knew right away what I'd like to say to you. And then we talked a little longer, and all the while my love grew stronger. One little word led to another. The light in my eyes is putting you wise, I knew. We kept saying the same thing over, but every time it sounded new. I kept thinking what you'd be thinking if I should steal a kiss or two. And then we walked beneath the moonlight, and while we talked beneath the moonlight, one little word led to another. And what could I do but say I'm in love with you?
Isham Jones and his orchestra with one of Jones' own compositions, One Little Word Led to Another, from August 17, 1932. The vocalist was Charles French, and we started off this lexicography set of songs with Dick Robertson and his orchestra in 1937 and a Johnny Mercer Richard Whiting song from the film Ready, Willing, and Able, Too Marvelous for Words. It's Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm Glenn Robison, and here's Ben Pollack.
Thank you. Say the word, and love will provide the way. So I plead with you to say the word. Why must I go on, never knowing whether we're getting together or not? Now I ask you, wouldn't it be nicer to answer I sir, a what? There's a word that must give the bride away. Yes, indeed, you just say the word.
Louis Russell and his orchestra in New York on August 28, 1931, and Say the Word. The vocalist was Chick Bullock. Say the Word was written by Harold Adamson and Burton Lane. Lyricist Harold Adamson was born in Greenville, New Jersey on December 10, 1906. After graduating from Harvard, one of his songs, Time on My Hands, written in collaboration with Mack Gordon, was placed in the 1930 Ziegfeld production of Smiles. He was signed by MGM in 1933. Harold Adamson died in Beverly Hills on August 17, 1980. I hope you're taking notes because there's going to be a short quiz at the end of the show. Composer Burton Lane was born in New York on February 2, 1912. He played viola and cello in high school and was writing songs, but at age 15 he dropped out and joined Remick Music Company as a staff composer. During his career, he teamed with lyricists such as Ira Gershwin, Yip Harburg, Dorothy Fields, and Frank Lesser, writing popular songs for Broadway shows and for Hollywood films. Burton Lane died in New York on January 5, 1997. Say the Word was preceded by Ben Pollock and his Californians, recording in Chicago on December 17, 1926, and He's the Last Word, written by Gus Kahn. The vocalists were Dorothy Williams and Hannah Williams. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. Your comments and requests are welcome and can be sent to Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. Happy Hour begins when we return right after this. Prohibition began at midnight on Friday, January 16, 1920. On October 21, 1925, the U.S. Treasury announced that it had fined 29,620 people a total of $5 million for alcohol prohibition violations. So here's a set of prohibition-related songs, starting off with Lloyd Scott's orchestra.
Thank you.
The Cellar Boys, January 24th, 1930, and Barrel House Stomp. The Cellar Boys were Wingy Minone on cornet, Frank Teschemacher on clarinet, Bud Freeman tenor sax, Frank Melrose on piano, Charles Melrose on accordion, and George Wetling on drums. And you heard solos from just about all of them. Frank Teschemacher was born in Kansas City, Missouri on March 13, 1906, and in 1912 the family moved to Chicago. As a youngster, Frank took the customary piano lessons but went on to learn banjo, violin, alto saxophone, and clarinet. Lawrence Bud Freeman was with Tommy Dorsey's big band for 3 years and with Benny Goodman's band from 1935 to 39. Barrel House Stomp was preceded by Lloyd Scott and his orchestra from January 10, 1927, and Happy Hour, written by Scott and Don Fry, who was the band's pianist and arranger. Happy Hour continues here on Rapidly Rotating Records with Joe Sullivan.
Thank you. I had a drink, just a little drink, then I wouldn't feel so blue. Don't you really think we ought to have a drink, just a little drink with you?
Ray Miller and his orchestra with Frank Bessinger and Frank Wright vocalizing on Just a Little Drink from March 13, 1925. In 1916, Ray Miller was a singing waiter at the Casino Gardens in Chicago, the restaurant where the original Dixieland Jazz Band appeared before they went to New York. Determined to try his luck, Ray Miller followed them to New York and started his first band called the Black and White Melody Boys, playing in the style of the ODJB, with himself on drums. Before Ray Miller, it was Joe Sullivan and his own composition, Gin Mill Blues, recorded on September 26, 1933. Joe Sullivan was born in Chicago on November 4, 1906. He studied piano formally and, while still in his teens, was working in theaters and clubs in and around Chicago. During the 1920s, he was one of the busiest musicians in Chicago, playing at clubs and recording, mostly with small jazz groups. He accompanied Bing Crosby in the early 30s and played in Roger Wolf Kahn's and Bing Crosby's bands, although his career from that point was hampered by poor health. Joe Sullivan died on October 13, 1971. You're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison. I'll be back with the King of Hacha right after this. The freedom of the press is a flaming sword. Use it justly, hold it high, guard it well. Thus began the radio adventure classic Big Town, which made its debut this past week on October 19th in 1937. The main character was Steve Wilson, editor of the Illustrated Press and played by Edward G. Robinson. Star reporter Lorelei Kilbourne was played by Claire Trevor. The show's theme song was Tell the Story, and sponsors included ironized yeast tablets and Lifebuoy soap. Big Town was on radio until 1951, but was also on TV from 1950 to 56, and a comic book series from 1951 to 60. So here to commemorate Big Town is the King of Hacha.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Harry Roy and his band, who are going to play a medley of old favorites. I hope you like it. You're going to get it anyway.
Some of these days, you'll feel so lonely. You'll miss my hugging, you'll miss my kissing, you'll miss me, honey. When you're away, I feel so lonely. Just for you only, for you know, honey, you've had your way. And when you leave me, you know she'll grieve me. I'll miss my little daddy, some of these days. Thank you. and let me cry. After you've gone, there's no denial. You feel blue, you feel sad. You miss the best that you ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it. There'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart will be like mine and you want me only. After you've gone, after you've gone away.
A Hot Time in Town, a medley consisting of Wabash Blues, Some of These Days, Wang Wang Blues, Runnin' Wild, Somebody Stole My Gal, St. Louis Blues, Beale Street Blues, After You've Gone, and Barnyard Blues. Harry Roy and his orchestra from September 20th, 1933. Bill Curry provided the spoken introduction and Harry Roy the vocal. Harry Roy was born Roy Lipman in London on January 12, 1900. A multi-instrumentalist, his favorite was the clarinet. Harry and his brother Sid formed their first band, which was called the Darn Swells, and made their first recording as the Crichton Lyricals in 1927. The following year, they made a successful tour to South Africa, Australia, and Tasmania. In 1930, Harry took over leadership of the band, and Sid became manager. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, your comments and requests are welcome and can be sent to Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. We have just enough time to forego our usual closing theme and end with Dewey Jackson's Peacock Orchestra from June 21st, 1926, and Goin' to Town. This is Glenn Robison, and as always, I thank you ever so much for your very kind attention.
Thank you. always.
Hey, hey!
Born in town.